This is All Things Considered on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. As software becomes more sophisticated, it has taken over jobs usually completed by humans or machines. A new kind of software technology called software-defined networking is enabling software to take the place of certain kinds of machinery. A lab in Durham has recently begun taking a closer look at software-defined networking, and Granite Geek David Brooks is here to tell us more about it. Hi, David.
Glad to be here.
David, this can get pretty complicated, so could you explain to me, as someone who is not terribly familiar with the way computer networks operate, what software-defined networking is?
No, I can't. You'll never understand it. Oh, all right. I guess I can. Well, I'll try. So networking is the switches and controllers. In this, I'm talking about computer internet networking here. The word obviously has many meanings. It's all switches in particular and controllers that make it so that when you want to see something on the internet, you actually can see what you're trying to see. So it sends the signals all back and forth. And it's used in all kinds of applications, and the growth in so-called cloud computing, in which you're actually using software and data that's stored on somebody else's computer far away, that's made it even more important. This equipment has been around for a long time. You've heard of the company Cisco. That's Cisco switching is really how they made the gazillions of dollars to start with. So software-defined networking is a system that is replacing some of the mechanical and electrical components of the switches and controllers with software.
So essentially, and this is how you put it in your article, replacing actual physical things with the ones and zeros, the bits that make up the software. Is that a correct description of it?
Replacing atoms with bits is the way it's been
replacing
described
atoms
for a long
with bits.
Time.
Yep. Yeah. And that sounds mind-boggling to me. I mean, how can that even be possible?
To replace
a physical thing with a non-physical thing?
Well, I mean, I used to have to go over to my TV set and turn a big knob, click, 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 in order to change channels. And now you can do it with interface on the screen. I mean, that's kind of vaguely the same idea. I mean, it happens all the time. I don't have to dial my telephone anymore. All that is software defined, using electronics, using software in order to do mechanical things much, much, much more quickly.
So bring this down into the real world once more for me, David, and explain to me a real world scenario in which this kind of technology would come in handy.
Every time you go on the web, I'll be blunt. This stuff is invisible. The thing that is happening not in your PC that's making all the internet interconnection with online services possible. It's why data centers can work these days. It's why an awful lot of systems can be remote. It's why you get so much virtual stuff. This is the invisible underpinnings of the whole online world, really.
Okay. And it's being maybe test-driven, we should say, at the lab in Durham? Or what's the role of the UNH Interoperability Lab in this technology?
Yeah, I hope I don't have to actually say that word because I'll...
UNH Interoperability.
You're a professional radio guy. the UNH IOL, can I say that?
Sure.
Which has actually been around since the early 90s and is sort of an unsung hero in the state's tech scene. It got established to try and help different computer and networking equipment work together. So company A will build something, company B will build something, and they'll each make various decisions along the way. And then when the customer tries to use both of them at once, they don't talk to each other or they somehow interfere with each other. That's where you need a standards body, a group to do that dullest but most important of industrial things, which is setting standards. And you need an objective group like the UNH IOL to test them and make sure they actually do meet the standards, that they actually are compatible. And as I say, the lab has been doing this for close to 20 years now with various equipment. And they've just shifted. They just started actually this month a consortium that examines software-developed networking. The software-developed networking is partly it's an open-access, open-architecture system. In other words, something that's developed not by a specific company, but sort of that anybody can use. But there are also a number of independent companies, private companies, sort of developing their own. So it's increasingly important to make sure all this SDN stuff you've got can talk to each other. And so the UNH IOL has set up a consortium, which is the way they worked all along. They get no money from you or me, no money from tuition. They get money from private companies that join consortia. Is that the plural of consortium?
Let's say it is.
Anyway, that say, hey, I'm gonna pay you a fee, so please test all my equipment and certify that it actually works together. And the lab has got enough of a reputation that certification matters. And so it's been doing this in a number of various fields, and now the software-defined network is the latest field it's moved into.
So what you're talking about essentially is standards and whether or not software-defined networking is actually going to fit in.
In this particular piece of equipment, you're going to buy a switch from so-and-so, and he says it's SDN. Does it going to actually work with your SDN? I mean, it's like a good housekeeping seal of approval with, you know, technology behind it instead of whatever the good housekeeping people use.
Well, David, thank you very much.
You bet.
That's David Brooks. He's a reporter for the Concord Monitor and the writer who is so geeky there is not a software on earth geeky enough to replace him at graniteGeek.org.